We're going to be this morning in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31. It's a really important part of the book of Romans, the epistle of Rav Shaul to the Kehillah in Rome. And it's kind of the culmination of everything Rav Shaul has been saying to this point. After this, he's going to kind of go off in a slightly different direction and build on what he has said. But at this point, he's bringing everything together and bringing to conclusion all that he has said about the pagans and their evil ways, and how even in the darkest reaches of the world, revelation of God has been clearly seen since the creation of the world. And among the Jewish people, how among the Jewish people, even though we might have the Torah and even though we might be sure that we have righteousness, nevertheless, we too are sinners. We too have failed Hashem. And in Romans 3, verses 21 to 31, Rav Shaul pulls it all together. And he says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law, the Torah, is revealed, being witnessed by the Torah and the prophets." You know, many times we would like to be righteous. We've just sung, make me holy. And our hearts aspire to be holy for Hashem, to be fully set apart for Him, to fully share in His beauty and His purity. We'd like to be a tzaddik in Israel and in the Jewish, among our Jewish people, we have tzaddikim. You have, say, Rabbi Yossi Ovadia, Sephardic rabbi in Israel. And people look up to him as a tzaddik, a righteous one. People look up to Avraham Cook, the previous chief rabbi of Israel. People looked up to Kaduri, Rabbi Kaduri. People looked up to Rabbi Menachem Schneerson as a tzaddik, someone who's righteous. And when they looked at those people, they said, "I'd like to be a little bit like that person, more righteous. This person is a real tzaddik." And we'd like to be tzaddik. In fact, more than being a tzaddik in the eyes of those around us, we would really like to be a tzaddik in the eyes of Hashem. That He would look at us and say to me, "Daniel, you're a tzaddik," or Fred or Joe, whatever the name might be, or Rachel or Leah, "You are a tzaddik. You are righteous." What a wonderful thing to think of God thinking of any one of us as righteous, a real tzaddik. Something to aspire to, never mind anything we might have done, the things we might have said in our lifetimes. Part of us yearns for this. That's part of the reason for the fact that in not only the Torah, and throughout the Bible, do you have cleansing rituals whereby people might be physically cleansed from symbolic impurity? But actually around the world, these kind of ideas are embedded in our psyche. We would like to be clean. We'd like to be pure. Pilate, as he condemned Yeshua to death, essentially washed his hands. He wanted to be clean, even though he knew he was doing an unclean act and his hands were defiled by the blood of an innocent man. But he couldn't deny it. He was doing an evil deed. And in Romans, Rav Shaul brings everything to a head and says, now the righteousness of God is revealed. Now you can see it. There it is in all its glory and its searing beauty, the righteousness of God. And it's something you might look at and say, that is unattainable. That is something so far beyond me. That is an impossibility. In fact, Rav Shaul begins Romans 3:21 by saying, but now, in the Greek, nuni de. Now, something new is coming along. The righteousness of God is being revealed. And we know that we are, as it were, in a new era. We are in the last days. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is now. Things have changed. And we know that something is different. And Rav Shaul is saying, now after all this that I've discussed about Gentiles and Jews and sin, nevertheless, the righteousness of God is revealed. It is a new era. Yeshua came, as did Yohanan HaMatbil, John the Immerser, to say, repent, make teshuvah, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there is an amazing revelation. Romans is a book that speaks about the mystery of Hashem that is now revealed. And Kepha in 1 Peter talks about how the prophets longed to look into these things. And we also see that at the beginning of the book of Hebrews in Elohim Asher. Now these things are revealed to us by Hashem. And this is a righteousness apart from the law. And a lot of people get very confused as they read these verses. And frankly, verses 21 to 31 are the core of a lot of Christian theology that's been built up around them, maybe by taking Greek thinking a little bit too far. A lot of Greek philosophy has gone into figuring out the message of Romans, the exact definitions of terms, slicing and dicing everything very finely. Since the early church, this has been done. And I don't mean to disparage Greek thinking, because there's no doubt that not only did the writers of the Brit Chadashah write in Greek, but of course, their thinking was influenced by the Greek world, and Greek thinking is not foreign to them. But I think here Rav Shaul is speaking very much, not only as someone who's aware of Greek thinking and the way the Greek mind works, but someone who is a scholar of Torah, someone who thinks as a Jew, someone who knows what righteousness is from the Tanakh and everything that he has read and everything that he has learned and everything that God has revealed to him. And so he says, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. And many people might take that and say, now, see, the law is gone and the righteousness of God has been revealed. But Rav Shaul makes no such simple statement here. He says that law and the prophets are witnesses to this. And in fact, we can see the righteousness of Hashem in the Torah, in the law, in the Nevi'im, the prophets. We see the righteousness of God revealed even in the creation of the world. And we know that there was a beautiful world where everything was right. If you want to take that from the word righteousness, things were the way that God intended them to be for us, beautiful, harmonious, and we walked with God. Things were right. And the rabbis say that Adam, by the fall, by breaking Hashem's command to him, lost six things. He lost the glory, life, or immortality. He lost his stature as a person, which was above that of his descendants. He lost the fruit of the field, the fruits of the trees were damaged, and he lost light, the light by which the world was created. There was a huge loss when the righteousness of God was abandoned, when we transgressed and stepped out of his will. The Torah is a witness to this. The Nevi'im and the prophets, they too are a witness to the righteousness of God. Because the righteousness of God is very clear throughout the prophets. One of the things that is said in the Midrash, which is ancient Jewish commentary on the Torah, is what is the name of King Messiah? A certain rabbi said, his name is Hashem, the Lord. As it is written, this is the name whereby he shall be called Adonai Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And as we go through the Torah, as we go through the prophets, we can see the righteousness of God revealed. But now the spotlight has been cast on it. It's as if it was always there. We've always sought to be tzaddikim. We've always sought, or at least sometimes sought, to do what is right. But now God's spotlight is on righteousness. Now it is really clear. The source of this righteousness, the standard of this righteousness, the depth to which we have fallen, and the distance we are from actually fulfilling God's Torah. The righteousness of God is revealed, and everything has been exposed in its light. Rav Shaul had walked along the Damascus road, and on the way up to Damascus, as he walked that road, the glory of the Lord shone upon him, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" God's light, God's presence became evident to Shaul as he walked that road. And he learned about righteousness when Yeshua said, "I am the one whom you are persecuting." There had been a great revelation. And now, as Rav Shaul writes this, people across the Roman Empire are actually waking up, and they're seeing this revelation of God's righteousness. And both Gentiles and Jews are coming to a realization that, yes, we need Messiah. We need King Messiah, this one who has come to inaugurate the kingdom. And so we read in verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God through faith in Yeshua HaMashiach to all and on all who believe." This is the righteousness of God, and it is for those who believe, those who have taken up faith in Yeshua HaMashiach and believe in him, who have faith. It's an amazing thing that Rav Shaul is explaining to the Kehillah in Rome. These people who are no doubt some of them very powerful, others of them very unpowerful, very menial servants and slaves within the homes of the wealthy. Doesn't matter who they are. Whoever they are, the righteousness of God through faith in Yeshua HaMashiach is for all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For Jewish people, we've often felt that those who have great knowledge of the Torah, those who have memorized entire books, maybe memorized the five books of Torah and have mastered and possibly even memorized vast sections of the Talmud, that these are the righteous, that these are those who are really close to Hashem. They have it all in their head. Hopefully they have it in their heart. Their lives are governed by the Torah that they have learned. These we've often looked up to. You can go into any Orthodox shul. You can go into a Beit Midrash, a house of prayer. You can go to a Jewish school, and you will see pictures of the rabbis. And these are men of great learning. They are an example to us, not to be dismissed, in their study, in the way in which they have devoured and internalized the Word of God, and everything that they can learn about it from the traditions of the fathers. Incredible intellects, some of them. And some of them have amazing stories, some of them martyrs for their faith. And we look at them and say, these are our rabbis from centuries past up to the present. But the righteousness of God in Romans 3:22 is through faith in Yeshua HaMashiach to all and on all who believe. The Hasidic movement from a few centuries ago to now was a revolt in part led by the one who would be known as the Baal Shem Tov, the master of the name, against this incredible burden of having to know so much. The Mitnagdim, as they were called, were scholars. They studied the Torah, and like the fiddler on the roof, they were able to study the Torah for 7-8 hours every day. But that was denied to the average man, the peasant Jewish farmer in Eastern Europe could not devote time to the Torah. His whole day was devoted to just trying to eke out a living and to survive. And so the Hasidim came along and they said, what really matters is your joy. What really matters is your love for Hashem, your love for your fellow man. And they said, it is wonderful to know, it is wonderful to study and become a great scholar, but what really matters is what is in your heart. That's a very biblical message. But here, Rav Shaul takes it one step further. It's not only that it doesn't matter what you do or don't know. So we don't all have to be great scholars, although I think as much as we can. This is the word of Hashem that is given to us. We need to devour it, make it part of our lives. But it is faith in Yeshua HaMashiach to all and on all who believe. It is emunah, faith, this love for him that says, I trust you. And in the complete Jewish Bible, if you have a copy of that translation, the word faith is almost always translated trust. This is my trust in Yeshua HaMashiach. My trust that he is indeed the one whom Hashem has sent. He truly is sent to live among us. He truly gave his life for me. He truly rose from the dead so that I might know that my sins are forgiven and so that I might know that he sits at the right hand of God on high and will one day come and claim his throne as he promised he would. That's trust, because we know that God sent him. To trust him is to trust that God sent him and that he truly is the one whom God has designated for us so that we might have this righteousness of God. To be a tzaddik. All of a sudden, Rav Shaul is saying, it's a little bit different than you might have thought. The Jews in Rome, in that great city, are saying, possibly, we are righteous because we keep the Torah, and you Gentiles haven't been keeping the Torah. And the Gentiles are saying, no, no, we have been followers of Messiah, and we are righteous enough. And Rav Shaul is saying, no, no, none of you are righteous. It is righteousness that comes through faith. And so he says it in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if you know the Roman road, it's a great witnessing tool, a great tool for sharing the good news of Messiah wherever you might be. It simply involves memorizing 7 verses out of the book of Romans. This is one of them. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So Rav Shaul has revealed what this righteousness is all about. And now he's applying it to them. You've all fallen short. All have sinned. He doesn't need to list the sins. He's already done that in Romans 1 and 2. He shows how we have not lived up to what God wants us to live up to. And to be true, how unbelievable of a standard that any human should measure up to the glory of God. Is that even conceivable? When we understand who God is, the creator of all the universe, and he says, look, let's be real. We're all falling short. Whatever our failings, it doesn't matter if so-and-so seems more righteous than me, or if I think I'm more righteous than someone else. It doesn't matter. In reality, in the face of God, in his presence, we have all fallen short. And then verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Messiah, Yeshua. In these verses, actually, Rav Shaul uses a few different metaphors. He uses 3. He uses one that comes from the law courts. One that comes from emancipation, from slavery. And another one to do with the sacrificial system. The first one here is in verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace. We are justified. It is as if we have been made correct. In Hebrew, if you go to Israel, and if I might just do a very early note, someday it would be wonderful if we could have a tour from our Kehillah to Israel. But when you go and you listen to a speaker in Hebrew and there's someone who is translating it into English, my experience has been, and this is years ago, the speaker who knows English as well will sometimes tell the person who's translating, you say, that's right, that's tzodek. It is correct, your translation. It's righteousness. We are made just. We are made correct freely by the grace of Hashem. And if you know Jewish prayer, the word grace is so common throughout Jewish prayer. It comes from God's self-revelation to Moses on the mountain, where he reveals himself as a merciful, gracious God. And so Rav Shaul knows what he's saying. We are justified freely by grace. Justification is something that happens in a court where you are declared just, where you are declared okay. There's no problem here. You can walk out as a free person. But also there is the picture of redemption. It comes from slavery. It comes from Israel's experience of slavery through the redemption that is in Messiah, Yeshua. We were redeemed. We were once slaves, and now we are free. In fact, later on in verse 25, Rav Shaul says, in his forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. And this thought from Israel's redemption is clearly in Rav Shaul's mind. Because when we were slaves in Egypt, were we really that much better than the Egyptians? There's no indication in the Torah that we were actually doing better than they were in terms of righteousness, except that God was acting on our behalf. God was remembering his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so when we sat in our homes in Egypt 3,400 years or so ago, as we sat there eating that sacrificial lamb with the blood on the doorposts, were we more righteous than the Egyptians in their homes? And God passed over our homes, but he did not pass over the Egyptians. They suffered the judgment of God, but we were spared. And it wasn't because of our righteousness. It wasn't because we were better than the Egyptians. There's none of that here. In his forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. It's not an authoritative thing, but it's interesting that in the Hebrew translation of the Brit Chadashah, the word for passing over is Pasach. Pesach, Passover. This is the passing over of God. And when we celebrate Pesach, what we are celebrating is primarily God passing over the houses of Egypt. We're not celebrating primarily the 10 plagues. We're not primarily celebrating our trip through the Yam Suf, the Red Sea. We are celebrating primarily God passing over. And by passing over our homes, we were redeemed. And we went out. We despoiled the Egyptians. We went free. And we were able to rejoice in Hashem. Then we knew we were his. And God said, now you are my people. Now that's when he said, now here's my Torah. After he had redeemed us. First it was our faith. Faith demonstrated by sacrificing a lamb. Faith demonstrated by eating it in our homes while the blood was on the doorposts. It was our faith demonstrated in our works that resulted in our redemption. It was not our works that redeemed us. And so God passed over. And then there is the propitiation by his blood. Propitiation is the means by which guilt is removed. And throughout the Torah, we see through the sacrificial system, we see through Pesach, this basic principle that blood is shed for our sins. There is a connection between our sins and blood. And is it anything magical in the blood itself? Rather, it's what the blood signifies, the actual life. Our sins are a grievous, life-destroying aspect of our persons, of what we do. Our sins destroy life. But God gives us life through Yeshua HaMashiach. And so we have these three images of justification, the legal term, the term from slavery and redemption, and the sacrificial picture of redemption by the blood of Messiah. And all of this is that God might demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Yeshua. It's through reading things like this that Martin Luther started his Reformation. Martin Luther, we think of him as infamous for his late life views of the Jewish people and the things he said. But nevertheless, there's no disputing the fact that he turned large parts of Europe away from the authority of a rigid, hierarchical, bureaucratic, self-serving church to actual faith in Yeshua, to actual faith in God and actual righteousness, not gained by works, but imputed to the believer through faith. Righteousness, faith, these are so important. And this is part of our message to our Jewish people. Our people want righteousness, at least those who are religious. Some just think, well, I'm Jewish, so I'll keep some traditions. For some, Jewishness is simply an attachment to Israel. And to others, even less so, Jewishness has something to do with social values and being concerned to be a good force in the world. And that's kind of the way our Jewish community and our Jewish world is. Not always so passionate about the things of God. But it's always the message that what we need is faith in Messiah Yeshua. That is our message. What we need is simply to acknowledge who he is, what he has done, what he has done as the one whom God has sent us, and to find through that God's righteousness. For the Jews, that could be, in a sense, true Jewishness. Jewish believers, we sometimes call ourselves completed Jews, because in a sense, this brings everything together. This gives everything meaning. But Rav Shaul says there's no difference for all of us, whoever we might be, Jew or Gentile. God is the justifier. He completes us as people. He completes us as those whom he has created simply by our faith in Yeshua the Messiah. And so we come to the last section of Romans chapter 3, verses 27 to 31. The Tzaddik, Torah, and Emunah. Rav Shaul comes, he's laid out essentially plan of salvation. And now he says, so where's the room for boasting? The Romans and the Jews and the Kehillah in Rome have been all boasting against each other. That's the impression you get from everything Rav Shaul has written so far. And Rav Shaul says, now, come on. Essentially, he's saying, we might say in modern language, get real. Where's the room for boasting? Nothing can give you reason to boast because we have all sinned. And for all of us, our salvation is through faith. There is no room for boasting. It's excluded. It's absolutely impossible that you could have any reason to boast against anyone else and think that you are better than they. Because we're all in the same boat, and we have all had to approach God through faith in Yeshua, the Messiah. By what law? Of works? No. No, but by the law of faith. It's not by Torah. It's by the Torah, the principle, the governing rule of faith. That is all we can boast in. We can boast in Messiah Yeshua. Therefore, verse 28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found a commentary. It's a pesher. It's kind of a commentary on the book of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is a beautiful book from the Treasar, the 12 minor prophets in the Nevi'im, in the Tanakh. And there we read, but the righteous shall live by his faith. And the writer of this ancient scroll, the author at least, said, the explanation of this concerns all those who observe the law in the house of Judah. God will deliver them from the house of judgment because of their affliction and their faith in the teacher of righteousness. There was an awareness in that Dead Sea community where they hid all those scrolls that there would be a teacher of righteousness. In fact, one who presents himself as a teacher of righteousness writes a number of sheets, writes in a scroll, the Hodaot, and seems very pleased with himself, and maybe a little puffed up, as Steve might tell us, about how he is the teacher of righteousness, and everyone looks up to him, and he expects everyone to do so. But it is through faith in the true teacher of righteousness. They knew this. The one who is the true teacher of righteousness is the one whom we must look up to. The righteous shall live by faith. And so Rav Shaul continues, is God God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised by faith. Do we then make void the Torah through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the Torah, the law. Rav Shaul points out how clearly we need to have faith. Simple faith, simply to trust that Yeshua is the one given by Hashem. It's not too difficult. It's not too complicated of a requirement. There are many who would say, well, therefore this means the Torah is useless, and Rav Shaul is at pains in the last verse here to say, no, this doesn't mean that the Torah is irrelevant now. And he'll reiterate that a number of times throughout the book of Romans. But he reminds us that God is God of the Gentiles too. There is no difference. In fact, even in our parsha today, in Exodus or Shemot chapter 14, we have this reiterated in this parsha that talks about God passing over Israel and talks about the Passover. In chapter 4 and verse 14 and verse 4, Moses writes that God says, I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. God redeems Israel so that the Egyptians, so that the nations, the Gentile nations, might also know. God has always been the God of the Gentiles. Verse 18, then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And for Jewish people who so often have considered and had considered that God was their God and the pagans had theirs, Rav Shaul reminds us that God is not only the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but God is the God of Noah. He's not only the God of Israel. He's not only the God of the Jews, but God is God over all the earth. He is our God. In equal measure, whomever we might be, whether we are circumcised by faith or uncircumcised through faith. It's a non-negotiable. And so in conclusion, Rabbi Elliot Clayman, a believer in Messiah, stated that there are some non-negotiables in the parsha from this week, and it relates to Romans chapter 3. When Israel left Egypt, Moses said, we're coming with our women. This is a non-negotiable. Pharaoh said, no, just leave your wives behind. Pharaoh said, leave your children behind. Moses says, no, we're going with our children. Pharaoh says, leave your flocks and herds behind. And Moses said, no, we are going with our flocks and with our herds. They were non-negotiables. In redemption, these things went along with it all. And for us, righteousness, tzedakah, Torah, and emunah, faith in Messiah, all go together. They all work together that we might be called the children of God. And it is simply through emunah that the gates are opened, that we might have access to the righteousness of Hashem, and so that we might have access to true obedience to the Torah that He has given us. Avinu Sheva Shamayim, we thank You for the freedom that is available through Yeshua. We thank You that through Him we have that righteousness that we could only yearn for apart from the great work which He has done. We thank You that we, through Him, are called Your people, whether Jew or Gentile, that together we can follow in Your ways as Your people. Father, we pray that if there are any here today who do not have faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, that this might be a day where they might put their faith in Him and experience true righteousness from You, given from Your law court, freedom from slavery, given so that we truly might be Your people, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We pray these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.